America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's out back on the fan, and honored to be joined by Howie Rose, the voice of the Mets. An incredible call last night. Howie's appearance brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Yes, Howie, yes!
You know, if you yell one decibel louder, I might finally wake up. It's been a rough last 12 hours or whatever it's been from a sleep deprivation standpoint.
What time did you get in?
Let's see. I had like 3:30, I think, something like that.
Oh,
I think by the time I got to the hotel, by the time my head hit the pillow, it was like 4:30.
How big of a moment, Howie, was that for you personally? Before we get into the team aspect, for you personally.
You know, a lot of times you appreciate it more down the road. And now that we're in the age of social media, where I can see the reaction to it as I have and been so totally overwhelmed by it, I'm aware of the moment's magnitude because of the home run. You know, forget the call. It's just, you know, the home run and what it meant to the Mets and means to the Mets and certainly what it meant to Pete. I mean, you think of the narrative, and I tried to get into that as he came into the batter's box last night. It might very well have been his last plate appearance as a Met. And when you consider the struggles that he'd endured recently, sort of punctuated by that drop foul pop-up, there was this to it that you really hoped that Pete would somehow be able to overcome. And he overcame it in the most dramatic, tremendous way possible that I know will resonate years to come. But I think, and I'll compare it, I'm not comparing the call now, I'm comparing the moment. I think what made Stephan Matteau's goal so big is that the Rangers went on to win the Stanley Cup that year in 1994. And I think this home run is huge. It will always be huge. They'll be talking about the home run in 50 years. But it'll take on something of epic proportions if they go on to win the whole thing. That's where they're aiming, and that's what's on the table here. And that's what made last night so great, is that it enables them now to try to take the next step. And I said this to you guys at the very beginning of our conversations a few weeks ago. It's wide open this year. There is no superpower. You see already what happened in the American League Division Series. It's anybody's championship to win, and that includes the New York Mets.
Howie, it's your responsibility to obviously convey the imagery here, but also, you know, if you do, because you're still a human and, you know, you want the Mets to win, when things feel bleak or turn bleak, that you can't necessarily project that on the air. When they're down 2-0 and they're running wild, stealing bases without a throw late in the game and Diaz is on the mound, there had to be a part of you that thought it was over.
Well, you certainly didn't like the trend. And I think most other years, you would probably adopt that mindset that, boy, this is hardly something that's likely to happen. And it wasn't likely even last night, of course. But what they've done so often by winning the number of games that they have in the late innings and pulling off the near miracles that they have on a couple of occasions, most notably, of course, Monday in Game 1 in Atlanta, all I thought about was, as we went to the ninth inning, and by the way, you know, you go back to Diaz getting Contreras there in the seventh inning to leave the bases loaded, or second, third, I think it was, after the stolen base. There was a double steal, right? And
yep.
That made it second and third.
Yep.
And those were two gigantic runs that Diaz was able to make the Brewers leave in scoring position. So the fact that it was two meant all you needed was a base runner to get the tying run of the plate. And that was kind of my mindset when the ninth inning started. And, of course, Lindor has been in the middle of so many of these special moments this year. He had a great at-bat, not surprisingly. I think it was an 8-pitch at-bat. And when he walked, in my mind, it was, here we go. You know, it was, even after Vientos struck out, the fact that they had the tying run of the plate, knowing that despite the fact that, you know, Brandon Nimmo hit something like 224, but he drove in 90 runs, and one of the reasons he was able to do that is that he had so many big hits, hits with men in scoring position. There wasn't anybody in scoring position yet, but he would get Lindor to third with his base hit. Now you know you're in business. And that's when the drama of Pete's plate appearance began, with so many thoughts swirling in my head. And just from a broadcaster standpoint, all I wanted to do was create a narrative that all of us felt. I just wanted to articulate it. His struggles, we all knew it could have been his last plate appearance as a Met. And does he have a big swing in him here? And I know a lot of people on social media today have, they call it what? The money ball? Recreation of some of these big moments.
Yes.
Well, I saw it, I heard it, and I saw the movie. I don't remember the music, and I've been told that it was, you know, the Scott Hatterberg home run that was central to that. But all I could think of was The Natural. You know, when that ball left, and Pete's home run was in the seats, it, you know, I had everything but the light stanchions popping, you know, the light bulbs the way they did in The Natural, and the fireworks exploding. It was a Hollywood moment. And for Pete to have been, you know, the one who played the star, I mean, that was right out of Central Casting. And it will remember it forever, whatever happens. But think of how much bigger it'll be if they go on to win this thing.
Still even hard to believe now when hearing you describe it. And my favorite part about your call was the disbelief, and not the disbelief that Pete couldn't get it done, but like, holy crap, he actually did it.
Yeah, you know, it seems, going back, I guess if I had to trace it back, to where it seemed that younger Met fans than I started to expect the ceiling to cave in. You know, you go back to the Mike Socia home run against Doc in 88, and you know, the Terry Pendleton home run the year before in a regular season game. And it started to develop this mindset about Met fans of a generation younger than mine, that something bad was going to happen sooner or later. And that home run that Alonso hit flipped the script, and it brought back memories of my generation's greatest moments going back to 1969. And, you know, I heard from Ron Swoboda today. I heard from Ed Crane Poole's son, Keith, today. And I told them that I have a feeling that, you know, Ed and Buddy and all the others we've lost from that 1969 team, I think they've gotten together in the last little while, and they're up to something.
That's fantastic, man. We're talking to Howie Rose, BT and Sal here on The Fan. So I saw this very early this morning. I put my guys off to it, and they've since seen it. Everybody's seen it, I would hope by now. But I want to describe it for those who did not. There is a video of you in your seat on the charter airplane. It's on the verified Mets account. If you guys want to go check this out, you have to. And they play your call. And like most broadcasters who can't stand the sound of our own voice, you actually you put your hands over your ears in a very humble manner. And then the entire plane, as they just pump this call through the plane, starts cheering and chanting. And Howie stands up and he goes back to Pete in the back of the plane. You guys get an embrace. What in the world did that feel like for you?
I'm not even sure I can explain it yet. I'll say this. I was 15 years old in 1969, and it was the happiest moment of my youth, you know? And they're making a 70-year-old feel 15 again. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, you know, when I put my hands to my ears there, I think only my brethren who do what I do for a living can understand how embarrassing it is for us to have our calls played in front of other people. It's not necessarily about being uncomfortable, having attention drawn to us. That's uncomfortable on one level. But at the level it was last night, I wanted to hide under the seat until it became evident that it had gotten a little bit beyond that.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, frankly, go back and give Pete a hug. And I think I owe Harrison Bader a high five, because people have been kidding me all day who looked at that video and saw Harrison. As I was high-fiving a couple of people who put their hands up on my way back to Pete, I kind of slipped right past Bader, who had his hand up, and I felt it on my shoulder eventually, but I just wanted to get right to Pete there.
Wow, man, and I know that I'm not alone when I say this. I think all Met fans wish they could have given Pete a hug after last night. That was just incredible. Where does it rank, Howie? We talked about this the other day with Lindor. Where does this rank? For me, in my life, I'm 45, and I've always compared things to Piazza-like moments. That was better than anything that I've ever seen before as a fan. You've seen it all. Where does that moment rank in Mets history?
Well, it's right there. You know, Todd Pratt hit a home run that won a playoff series. And maybe this is what I was getting at when I talk about how it resonates on an even higher level when you win the whole thing. You know, Pratt hit a game-winning home run against the Diamondbacks in 1999 in the division series before there was a wild card series. You just had one wild card team then. And, you know, they had a great comeback in the LCS against the Braves, but they fell a run short in the sixth game, and that was that. And I think of the Pratt home run, and I go, yeah, that was great. Well, this home run also won a playoff series, and it came, frankly, as you compare them, one round earlier than Pratt. So we always get caught up in the moment. I think for me, this is going to be much bigger because, A, I was doing TV back then and could not broadcast that game. So I was sort of disconnected from it professionally. And you know, now when I look at this, having been able to kind of piggyback this on top of the Lindor home run just 3 days prior, I mean, think of this for a minute. These two Mets moments, and I'm not talking about the calls now, I'm just talking about the Mets moments, they happened, 96 hours apart, if that? That's unbelievable. And you want to hear something else? And again, please understand, I am not drawing any attention to the call here. I'm just talking about the home runs. Do you know that Pete hit that home run last night on the anniversary, the same date, October 3rd, of Bobby Thompson's home run in 1951?
I saw that. I did know that. I did not know that until I saw that on social media. Yep.
Crazy, isn't it?
And, yeah. And the 99 series, I remember I was at that Todd Pratt game. The difference there, now obviously they would have had to face Randy Johnson in the game five, but the season wasn't on the line at that point. Where last
night.
That's
right. That's a good point. Yeah. That's a great point.
Last night he saved the season. I mean, right, they're down absolutely to it. That's why, to me, even though I love that Pratt home run, it was a little different.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. And shame on me for not even realizing that.
Well, you haven't slept
yet.
But
that's what no sleep
does. Yeah. By the way, did you at least suck down a couple beers on the way home? Did you get to party a little bit now?
I don't do well with alcohol on a plane.
Gotcha.
Bigelow Tees. Howie's Bigelow Tees.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know what, Cindy? If you got something stronger than English breakfast, I'm all ears.
I got you. Well, we need those vocal cords ready, hopefully, for a lot more calls and good moments. And let's push this a little forward, at least try to get a sense of what might happen on the mound here. Howie Rose, by the way, BT and Sal. All right, so if this plays out the way we think it might, Seve game two, Manaea game three on Tuesday, Peterson, McGill, is Sanga an option tomorrow? What's going on game one? Who's starting?
Well, they've been very quiet about Sanga other than to just kind of smile when his name comes up. And you know, I mean, Mendy hasn't really seen him or had much contact with him. He's just going off of reports. And the attitude's been, well, if they tell us he's ready, then great. So I can't say that it's out of the question that he could be added to the roster, but I don't know that. I don't know exactly how advanced he's come in his throwing program and whether that's even plausible. You know, there's a chance for them to put McGill on the roster for this series, right?
Yep.
And potentially even start tomorrow. Unless I'm forgetting when he last started. No, it couldn't have been.
No,
it was in Atlanta. Right?
Yeah, they were saying it would be Tyler. Wait, did he pitch Monday? You talking about? No. Severino pitched game one. He didn't pitch game two. No, Boyle. Yeah, Tyler McGill.
Right.
McGill could pitch tomorrow.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, 100%. Tyler McGill would pitch game one, if not Peterson.
Right.
You know, I know we got the work in last night, or potentially Sanga, because you'd have Seve lined up, normal rest game two, Manaea game three. Obviously, Quintana wouldn't be a factor until game four. So it's out of those three, Sanga, Peterson, and Tyler McGill, you'd think.
For tomorrow, and I think at this point, McGill becomes the likeliest option. And one of the things I like about the possibility of McGill is that, you know, he's a little bit different pitcher than he was even earlier this year because he's kind of found that sinker. It's not, you know, he's certainly not a polished major league starter to the point where he's got to be in your rotation. He's filled a role that's desperately needed, and maybe more so tomorrow than at any other time, certainly in his career. That's a small ballpark. You know the way the ball flies out of Citizens Bank. And a guy who has a chance to keep the ball on the ground, and Peterson certainly falls into that category too, is a very welcome thought. Now, you know, you got Schwarber and you got Harper from the left side in particular that, you know, you want to neutralize with a lefty, which is where Peterson comes in. He threw one inning last night, and I don't know that that necessarily lines him up to start tomorrow, but that would have been the plan if they'd won more conventionally and hadn't had to use him. But, hey, we'll see. And I just know one thing, that there are people probably around the country who are saying, well, you know, they're playing with house money. You try telling these guys they're playing with house money. They heard that before this series. They didn't believe it for a minute. You know, they felt that they had every much right to be involved in this thing as anybody else. They were right. They do. And let's see where it goes.
I cannot wait for it, Howie. And we can't wait to listen to you on the call tomorrow. Looking forward to talking to you next week as well. Mets, Phillies, game one. Thank you, Howie. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Awesome
Howie
job,
Rose
Howie.
Appearance was brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly. Before we break, Pat Boyle was right. So game one, I'm getting confused here with all these games. I was wrong. Severino pitched game one of the series in the wild card round, obviously. Game one against Atlanta was Tyler McGill on Monday, which means he would be on normal rest for Saturday. So it's going to be, we talked about this earlier, it's either going to be Tyler McGill or David Peterson if they want to go back to him after pitching an inning last night. Or Kodai Sanga, or some variation of, let's say, Sanga into Peterson, or McGill into Peterson. But I don't think you're going to have a scenario where you have both Tyler McGill and Kodai Sanga
on the roster.
Yes.
I'm going to say McGill gets the Baltimore. That's my guess.
Which would then mean Sanga would be off the roster.
Correct. Probably. I don't think he's pitching this round.
And then would you have Peterson back him up just in case?
Listen, you brought him out of the pen last night, and he looked fairly comfortable. I probably would, because Quintana's obviously going to get a start. We talked about...
Right, he's going to be game four.
He'll be game four. Manaea's lined up for game three.
And Seve, game
and
two.
For, yeah, I probably would do McGill Peterson back-to-back. Why not?
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. When we come back, we'll have our perfect parlay pick segment for week five in the NFL. We'll continue with your Mets calls.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
As well at 888-808-1019.
Talk New York sports on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, time for a little picks here. It's BT and Sal's football picks, brought to you by ELEC 825, Building Our Future, and by London menswear brand Charles Turwood. Shop your new favorites at ctshirts.com.
Parlay pick segment week five. We as a show have been cashing in on the parlay so far. Quite different from a year ago. You hit in week three. Both Hoff and I hit this past week in week four. So we have an update. Each of us hitting two team parlays so far. An update amongst the standings here. I am in front with 40 points. Hoff has 35 points. You have 30 points. So we're all right there. Each cashing a parlay through the first 4 weeks. Two team is 25 points. Three team is 50. Four team 100. You also pick the winner of the Jets and Giants each week straight up for a 5-point win. If you get that, you know, no point spread, just money line. So that's in play as well. The winner gets to pick what the two losers have to dress up as, old school wrestlers. That's what's on the line. What do you got for us, BT, in week five?
All right, there is the music, and hopefully we got another win here. Yeah, I came out and I tried to pop that triple week one, and then I went pretty much doubles here. I did hit one. This week I'm going back to the old triple ski, and you know what? Yeah, we do the old balance head versus heart. You know, it's sucking me in already, of course. I got a little sniff on these Jets, Vikings out there in London. Jets getting 2.5 points. Now, imagine having this before the start of the season. Vikings undefeated, Sam Darnold the MVP. Nobody had that. And now, I don't think that either is going to be like an irresponsible take. Like, I think the Vikings will be very good this year. I think Darnold's going to have a very good season. However, for the purpose of this game, I think the Jets come out. I think they play very well. You should get a dry field, which obviously complicated issues last year. Listen, man, last week, if the Jets aren't dialed up and buttoned up and get some things fixed at the line of scrimmage, which I fully anticipate that they will, then they have massive, massive issues. I'm taking the Jets plus 2.5. In London against the Minnesota Vikings. Number two, now the Jaguars. Jaguars lane 3. They take on the Indianapolis Colts. The Jaguars are 0-4, and I think the perception is maybe not quite as bad as the reality. Remember, now the Jaguars haven't won, so that's bad. Haven't won, that's bad enough here. But they lost by 3, they lost by 5, they lost by 4. What I think has really hijacked the narrative around them is that the Bills waxed them 47-10 a couple of weeks ago. That was week 3. Since then, they played much better football, and the Colts have not won in Jacksonville since 2014. The game's in Jacksonville. I'm going to take the Jaguars, lay the 3 spot, Jacksonville over the Colts. And finally, the Cardinals are in San Francisco. I haven't really messed around with the Niners yet this year. The Cardinals coming off an absolute bludgeoning. They got smacked. Their defense is Swiss cheese. Niners getting healthy, getting right. I know it's a heavy number to lay. I mean, you can get a backdoor cover. You're talking 7.5. Wacky things can happen. I don't think the Cards have the horses to do it. I think the Niners lay them out. So, in summation, Jets plus 2.5 in London against the Vikings. I'll take the Jaguars minus 3 against the Colts, and I'll take the Niners minus 7.5 to beat up on those Cards.
All right, there you go. BT's picks in the books for week 5. Hoff, what do you got? Off your heater last week.
Ooh.
Well, I'm going to Seattle, which is, you know, grunge. Yeah. But I'm not going to pick the game because I just want to listen to the music.
Okay.
All right, that being said, I am going to Houston. Now, I know that they had a very tight game last night. Last week, they didn't cover the number, but it was tight. They ended up getting the win. Buffalo coming off of a rough loss to Baltimore. I think Buffalo still is legit. Josh Allen has proven he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league no matter what. I think Buffalo is going to win that game. Getting plus points in Houston, give me Buffalo plus 1 at Houston for my first game. By the way, I'm going for a triple.
Oh, okay. Another three-team parlay. Okay.
And it's only because I'm feeling good. It's not because I want to get risky.
Right.
I want to go doubles all season. But
we're all in good spots here.
I feel good.
Yeah.
I hit. I feel good. All right. Now we're going to go to Baltimore. Again, a team that won last week, crushed, completely destroyed the Buffalo Bills. Cincinnati, on the other hand, they were going tight back and forth with the Panthers. I do, for some reason, feel like this is a letdown game for Baltimore. I think that that Andy Dalton had his revenge tour last week, but I really do think that Joe Burrow is going to find a way to pick apart this Baltimore defense. I think him and Ja'Marr Chase are lockstep. I think getting points, again, going to Baltimore, 2.5, plus 2.5, give me Cincinnati, plus 2.5 versus the Baltimore Baltimore, whatever they call it.
Ravens.
There you go.
That's the Orioles.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
The Baltimore Bullets, Wes Unseld. <Yeah. laughs>
And finally, I'm all in on Washington this year. Just, Jaden Daniels has convinced me. He's found Terry McLaurin finally. Minus 3 over Cleveland. I think that's a no-brainer. So my picks are Buffalo plus 1 at Houston, Cincinnati plus 2.5 versus Baltimore, and Washington minus 3 versus Cleveland.
It is 3.5, I thought, for that Cleveland-Washington game.
I'm still going to take it.
Last night, okay, just making sure. And I know that because I am going to have that game. You know what's weird? We have a lot of the same games here. Not all, but I have two games that Hoff picked in my three-team perfect parlay and one game that BT picked. I'm going to start with Cleveland. I like Washington coming into the year. I had their over for the season total. This is just a spot where it looks too easy, too fishy. Cleveland, they've been terrible. They stink. Only 3.5. Washington should roll them. Not so fast. Cleveland's defense is the one thing that's legit, and I think it's a type of defense that could cause problems for Jaden Daniels and that Washington offense. Washington has had a terrific start to their year. I think they get a little bit of a comeuppance here in week 5. And it might be a field goal game. Maybe the Commanders do get a win, but I'm getting 3.5. Just double check that lineup, but I checked it when I was about to pick this game. It is 3.5. So give me Cleveland with their defense on the road to slow down Washington and Jaden Daniels. That's pick number one. Pick number two, similar game as Hoff, although I'm going the opposite way. Wait, you took the Bills or you took the Texans? I took
the Bills.
I'm taking the Bills too, so we're on the same page there. So we went against each other with the Washington game. I'm taking the Buffalo Bills here. I'm with you, Hoff, thinking that the Bills will bounce back. They got embarrassed by the Ravens. I don't think Houston's as good this year. There's something off about that Texans team. And I know people are making this, oh, the Stephon Diggs revenge game. I think it's going to be the other way, where the Bills get the better of their former player in Stephon Diggs. I just think Buffalo is the better team here. Yeah, it's on the road. Yeah, I respect C.J. Stroud. Buffalo's better. I think they win the game. Give me the Bills in Houston plus one. And then the last game, I'm with you, BT. I think this is the week where everybody's about to write off the New York Jets. But they're going to bounce back, mainly Aaron Rodgers. I'm not all in on the Vikings. They've been a nice story. They are well coached, great defense, understood. I don't believe in Sam Darnold as much as many. I like the Jets' defense in this game to at least keep them in it. And I love Aaron Rodgers to continue what he's done, the good part of what the Jets' offense has shown this year. Obviously, last week, a lot of the slop. You mentioned the penalties. I think that was more an aberration. Jets have a long way to go, and they got to prove a ton, yes. But I think they have more than enough to beat the Vikings in this game. And it would be, last week, I didn't love the Jets. But this week, I think the Jets bounce back when a lot of people are writing them off. So I'm with BT on that one. So, in total, we have the Cleveland Browns plus 3.5 in Washington, Bills plus one on the road in Houston, and the Jets in London getting 2.5 points. And I'm going to take the Jets to win that game. I think the Jets get the win for my money line pick for the 5 points. I'll also go Seattle. I'd love to be able to make a case for the Giants and have them keep it close. I just don't see it, especially without Neighbors. That, to me, would shock the world if the Giants won that game. So give me the Jets and the Seahawks.
I've got the Jets and Seattle as well. And think about this as the two different possible scenarios here for the Jets. They win a game, and by beating it, if they beat the undefeated Vikings, and say 2 days after that they get Devontae Adams, think about that feeling. Or you lose the game and the Chiefs get Devontae Adams or the Bills get. I mean, this is a huge week for the Bills. Hoff, what are you doing wins and losses here?
I think that Malik Nabers being out makes it impossible for the Giants to win, so I'm going Seattle. And I, too, am going the Jets.
Wow. All three of us. Uh-oh.
That's good.
All three of us on the Jets. All right, that does it for the Perfect Parlay Pick segment, week 5. BT and Sal, it's been fun so far. I'm just glad that we've been able to cash some here. Obviously, this weekend, BT, I mean, we're both going to be on, you know, our solo shows. You have one tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock. I have one on Sunday starting at 12 o'clock. But this weekend, to me, as much as I love the NFL.
Yep.
And I'll be locked into the Jets, of course, 9:30 in the morning, the standalone game, which is great. This is a baseball weekend here. I mean, the Mets and Yanks play tomorrow. I mean, Mets again, 4 o'clock on Sunday. I'm sorry. I'm not going to pay attention to this. I might have the Giants on a second, like the iPad screen or whatever.
Yeah.
I got to lock into the Mets-Phils game, too.
Giants may as well be tennis this weekend. I mean, it's you know, who's winning, who advanced. I mean, it is what it is.
I hate to say that. I know it's week 5, but keep an eye on it, but this is a baseball weekend, which is great. Anthony's in Old Bridge. What's up, Ant? Hi, Ant. Anthony going once. Anthony is gone. Casey is in Annapolis, Maryland. What's up, Casey?
What's up, fellas? Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets, baby. How you doing?
Great. What's on your mind?
Well, you know what? I was watching the game last night. And I'm 55, so I was 17 in 1986, and I'm watching the game with my two labs and one of my boys, and the dogs' name are Stella and Mookie Wilson, right? So it was so great, and I wonder, I had, you know, nothing will ever replace that game for me, but it brought back so many of those feelings, and I'm wondering if there's ever been a swing that changed the trajectory of a career like the swing last night, right? And it certainly can. Is that a $5 million swing? Is it a $10 million? Is it a $30 million swing? But more importantly, maybe will it keep him in New York? Because I never really understood. I understand criticizing someone's play, but there's been so much criticism of him as a person that I've been just rooting for him. And did you guys see the interview after the game of what he said?
Yeah.
You guys say when he said, I was just so happy to contribute to the team. I mean, isn't that fantastic? He just was so relieved, you know? And then you see Lindor leaving an interview. He's like, I got to go take a picture with my friends. You know, this is just like it's something beautiful about these guys.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, we do, Casey, and thank you for the call. That was a beautiful moment. Although the one thing I would disagree with, I don't think that there has been people ripping Pete as a person. Nobody said that.
I think it's got a little personal for some. I don't know that that's the overriding feel.
Like, and where are you getting this? You're talking about on social media?
Yeah. Not so much on our show. Not on our show, not the calls.
Yeah, but we've talked about the clubhouse. That was dating back to last year and Pete not being a leader. But I don't think either of us ever said Pete was a bad guy.
No. We definitely never said that. There's no way.
So
I think people have been clouding him, though, in terms of, like, you know, he looks goofy or tripped over himself or whatever it might be.
He did trip over the bat, and he does look awkward at times and goofy. But that's not him personally as a person.
Not at all.
But in that moment, yes, he said what we've all been waiting for. It felt good to finally be able to contribute here. He's been on the outside looking into this party. So he finally gave welcome to the party last night in the biggest of ways.
You got the pumpkin now, too. You see that?
The playoff pumpkin.
The
I love that.
Playoff pumpkin.
All of a sudden, everything looks better and feels better. When you hit a home run like that,
I know.
Hey, playoff. And no goofiness to Pete Alonso last night
at all. Not at all. That was just a moment of like unadulterated explosion. Like when he hit that ball, and he had every right. Not that I would think that he would do this because he's not this kind of guy, but he very easily could have struck a different tone post game. I thought his humility and, you know, his team above self was so evident. They have such a youthful camaraderie that's really not evident too much in pro sports. That just based on the sheer amount of money that these guys make now, so much of that camaraderie's kind of been lost a little bit. But the Mets chemistry is awesome.
It was a thing of beauty. What do you got here? Oh, you guys want to break?
No, we're going to break. But doesn't Pete Alonso, and I love the guy. I really truly do. MVP, I'm all about him. Doesn't he remind you of the catcher in Major League Two and Pedro Serrano with Joe Boo? I mean, that's what he is. Pete Alonso is a mix of the guy that read the Playboy.
Yeah, because he had to make sure he could throw
the ball back. Or whatever
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He was in the movie Can't Buy Me Love, too.
I didn't know that. A little deep than that one. But the point is, that's exactly who Pete Alonso is. He's a mix of Pedro Serrano and the catcher from Major League Two.
He's got that lovable personality to him. But when things were going as poorly as they were, it became immensely frustrating for a lot of fans. I do not think, though. Now, I haven't seen. I'm sure some people say, we had the call yesterday calling, he's a bum. Like, that was a little harsh. But I don't think it was ever about
totally
Pete's
harsh
personality. His personality from day one has been endearing. It was just a question of, could he be a leader on this team?
Mm-hmm.
Could he provide those big moments? And he's not a leader on this team, but he did provide the big moment. And he's finally contributed to what has been a very successful season. And he did it in the biggest of ways, saving the Mets season last night. And you hope that it's unlocked him now moving forward. And also that it means that there's going to be a reunion with Pete and the Mets. To what extent, we'll find out, but now certainly that should be back in play.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. John is in Bergen County. What's up, Johnny?
I was about to go to bed. I said to my kids, this reminds me of 1994. When me and my wife were laying in bed, and the Rangers won, and how we made the whoever made the call, and I said to my kids, I said, I'm going to lay down. Top of the ninth inning, I said, you know what? Hopefully, it's like '94 all over again. We all met out in the living room after that home run. The greatest $200 million man. Not Mr. Number 20. Mr. $200 million man.
Yeah. Yesterday, BT, we had the caller of the day calling Alonzo a bum.
Yep.
And today, we have the caller of the day saying he's going to get $200 million. Hey, look, before the year started, I would have been okay with $200, maybe even $220. I do not think the market is going to dictate that for Pete. But during the year, I was ready to give up on Pete every step of the way. I wanted the change of the core. I just didn't like the feel of it, the look of it, all of the above. That one swing was the one that can change everything. And I really do think now the majority of Met fans, if not all Met fans, want Pete Alonso back within reason, the right price. I know it's a different argument, the sentiment versus what you would give him realistically, but the thought now of moving on from Pete, that would be too painful to endure after that moment last night.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is, like, anything that I push back against Pete long-term, it's never about the money because, you know, the Mets don't have a budget or they have a, you know, everybody has a budget, but they have their parameters are much wider than others because of Cohen's deep pocket. So it's not like, you know, in the NBA, if you give the max money to the wrong guy, he just complicates your ability to chase a championship because there's literal salary cap limitations. It really shouldn't matter. I mean, the bottom line is if you want Pete here and you think that Pete's going to age gracefully and all the things that you think he might do, that it shouldn't really matter if it's 5, 6, 7 years or $200 million or $290 million because it doesn't matter.
If I asked you yesterday, do you think Pete Alonso will be re-signed by the Mets long term? Your answer would have been
no.
And if I ask you today,
If I think it changed everything,
I know.
I can't even bring myself to say no.
Right, I would have said no too. For the record, if you asked me yesterday, we'd be like, no way. They're gonna move on because he's gonna want more money. There's no sentiment involved anymore. Like, remember the original pushback was how are they gonna trade Pete? Which, by the way, they tried to trade Pete years ago
to Milwaukee.
Yeah, how are they gonna quote trade Pete with the pushback that they're gonna get from the fans? Well, we got to a point prior to last night that it was overwhelming that Met fans were done and ready to move on with Pete Alonso. Mm-hmm. Now it's completely the other way. I think he's going to be back.
Yeah, I mean, I would feel that way, and I should say I do feel that way. I would lean that way a little bit more, a lot more now, not a little bit more. I would say there's still a lot of baseball to go, but it probably presents itself in a shorter deal, provided he's amenable to it. It feels like it did. It feels like everything changed last night,
which is unbelievable. Anthony is in Old Bridge. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. As always, thanks for taking the call.
You got it, buddy.
BT, it's your boy, Diamond Girl, Stevie B.
Yes,
that's
we know, Ant. Yes, sir. Yeah, Diamond Girl. Yes.
I'm looking to keep my streak alive. Last three times I called Sal hung up on me all three times. Oh. So I'm looking to go 4-4. You know, it is what it is. Before I get to my point, I'm not calling to diminish anything about the home run last night. I was actually cheering. It was one of the greatest things, most unbelievable things I've ever seen in all sports. Forget about baseball. It was incredible. But you guys with baseball knowledge, you're talking about great home runs of all time. You bring up Brocious. How did you not mention Kirk Gibson?
No, because we were talking about great moments for us in New York as fans. And thank you for the call, Anthony. And you're right. 4-4. See ya. But we do appreciate you checking in. No, you got to listen. We weren't talking about all-time great sports moments or all-time great home runs. We were talking about it from a New York fan perspective. Like, for me, the only thing that I could think of was that was comparable to this. I referenced the Allen Houston jumper in Game 5 against Miami in that first round, and then more specifically the Brocious home run and the Tino home run, just thinking that that was improbable from a New York standpoint, where Pete Alonso, to me, provided me with the best Mets moment that I've ever seen. Outside of, you know, I was 7 when they won the World Series, but outside of that, the series was over. Their season was over. And he, of all people, that's been the talking point all year long, hit a 3-run homer to save their season and potentially extend his Mets career. Like, that was the best that I've ever seen.
To me, I'm just in terms of jumping out of my seat, it's the Leyritz home run. Well, the Mattingly home run, just for pure sentimentality. Yep. Plus, it was a playoff game.
I had that on my list. But
you did mention that earlier. That was amazing.
Now, the Leyritz one.
I was at that game.
The Mattingly one?
Yeah.
You must have been going nuts for that
God.
One. I love that call still to this day.
Hold on, dude.
Yeah, that's one of the great ones. The Lyrics one's a good one I totally forgot about. And I remember watching that at the time, rooting against the Yankees, rooting for the Braves. The game felt like it was over. The series felt like it was over. Lyrics, one swing, changed everything.
And you didn't know if he got it. It was like a wall scraper. Just think about Andrew at the track, at
that's
the
a good
wall.
One.
But that's a young buck on the call. Jones tries to jump over the wall.
Yep.
He was out in front of it because Walters threw the slider, sped up his bat instead of throwing the fastball, which he couldn't touch.
That's a great one.
That's the one that jumps out to
that's
me.
That's an all-time great one. The reason why I referenced Brocious and Tino Martinez, I know they ended up losing that series, but twice the way that they did that. I just remember at the time feeling like, how the hell did that happen?
Well, the Tino Grandy, too, off Langston, where he hits the Posada right field, where you actually see the beer flying up there.
But they were
there's
down,
so many of you, really. That no, Reggie's through, but we didn't see Reggie's.
But the Byung-Young Kim one, like it felt like that those games were over. And the Yankees, see, that's the difference. The Lyrics one, yes, and it was earlier in the game. I forget what inning exactly.
Middle frames.
Yeah, okay. But the Brocious and Tino obviously won the game.
Oh, yeah, so, God.
And same thing with Alonso. Like, it wasn't a walk-off winner, but that's the thing. When you come back where it's looking like it's lifeless, that Pete literally did something that nobody's ever done before in the history of the sport. Hitting a home run in an elimination game in the ninth inning to give his team the lead. To take his team from behind to give them the lead. Others have tied it, maybe have given the lead from a tie.
Mm-hmm.
But to go from trailing to leading in the ninth inning of an elimination game, first time it's ever happened.
Imagine if that was in Queens last night instead.
Oh,
and it was actually
God.
The walk-off.
Wow. Hey, you know what? We're saving that for next week.
Save it for next round. Here comes Philly. This is awesome. This is what we've been waiting for, man. We've told you guys about this since the summer. Like, hey, if this could happen and that could happen. And this, well, it's
here
happening.
This here is we fun. Are. And you'll be back tomorrow, 1 o'clock, right here on The Fan.
I'm on tomorrow at 1. You're doing a little Sunday show, so we got you all weekend. Let's go. Can't wait. Good luck against the Phils, man.
Yep, looking forward to it. First time since 2006, Mets and Yanks playing in a playoff game on the same day tomorrow. All right, that does it for us. Thanks, everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Pat Boyle as well, Pete Hoffman. We'll be back, BT, tomorrow. Me on Sunday. Back together on Monday. Evan and Tiki are coming up next.
Unadulterated explosion.
Get off my ass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.